Okay, tonight we're going to discuss the topic of Darshim and time of the Kra, whether the reasons that the Torah gives or doesn't give for mitzvos, the reasons for mitzvos, make a difference in terms of halacha, whether we look at the reasons when we determine halacha. I don't think I ever gave a shir in Darshim and time of the Kra, which was somewhat stunning to me because it's, you know, a pretty significant topic in Shas. It comes up in a lot of places in Shas. In fact, I did not put together a complete list of the places that it comes up in Shas. We had it most recently in Maseches Gittin on Daf Mem Tesen Beis, and that's what got me thinking about it this time around, because the Perek that we're learning right now, Perek HaNizakin, in the Daf Yomi, starts out by telling us that HaNizakin Shamalan Be'idis, that we assess damages, how you pay for damages if you don't have cash, by having to pay the idis, the best of your properties. And the Mishnah is, in the context of the Mishnah is, we're listing off things that they instituted in B'pnei Tikkun HaOlam, that is special takana. So the Gemara says, what do you mean B'pnei Tikkun HaOlam? That's takana midrabanan, that you pay from idis? It's a pasuk, meitav sadehu, meitav karma yishalem, that you pay from the best, it's not Tikkun HaOlam. So the Gemara answers on Mem Tesem Lebeis, Ravina Amar Liyolam Asnis and Rabbi Akivi, Damar Bidarais, Rabbi Mazik Shaminan, Rabbi Shimon, he did Darish time of the Kra. To say that something is a din daraisa, and to say that there's a reason, Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, is not a contradiction. Meaning, we thought Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam sounds very rabbinic, it sounds like a din darabanan. Oh, this is why we instituted it. We wouldn't explain why the Torah made a din. The Gemara says, no, it's talking about a din daraisa, and still it's entirely appropriate to say Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, because Umatam Ka'amar, the Mishnah is giving the reason. Matam Anizak and Shamalan Ve'idis, why is it that we assess Nezikin with Idis? Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, it's because of Tikkun HaOlam that we're afraid that a person's going to say, we're hoping that a person who's thinking about damaging or stealing or doing something hurtful to another person's property, that he'll think to himself, is this really worth it? When I get caught, not only are they, am I going to have to pay back, but I'm going to have to pay back from my best stuff. I don't even know if the thing I'm damaging is even good, but I'm going to have to pay back from my best. And we're hoping that will discourage him from damaging. Who's the we that's hoping that? So the Gemara says, the Torah. The Torah is the we that's hoping that. It's not a Rabbanan. It's not that the Rabbanan are making this din. It's a din d'oraisa. So that's where it came up in Maseches Gittin. So I want to just talk about the notion of Darshim and time of the Kra. I don't think I'm going to say anything too complicated, too fancy, just to give a basic hekif of the sugya. If we have time, we'll get into a very nice shtickle Torah that Rav Schechter has in Eretz HaTzvi toward the end. But we'll try to keep it somewhat basic. The sugya that discusses Darshin and time of the Kra is the primary sugya. It comes up in a lot of places. We just had it in Sota, actually. The Gemara in Sota talks about, if I'm not mistaken, talks about in mashkin shtei sotos ka'achas, that you're not allowed to give two sotas to drink at one time. And we darshan it from Sukkim, but the Gemara also explains that it's because that she's going to try to be a hero in front of her friend. She's going to be very stoic, and she's not going to want to admit wrongdoing if she has a friend there that's going to help build up her courage. So which is it? Is it a din d'oraisa, or is it the friend that's going to build? Is there a reason that we ein mashkin shtei sotos ka'achas, which makes it sound like it's din d'rabanan? So I think the Gemara over there also says that it relates to Darshin and time of the Kra, that it could be that there is a reason, and that reason is a d'oraisa reason. But the two main places that it comes up in Shas is Bab Metzia and Sanhedrin, the sugya, Bab Metzia sugya and the Sanhedrin sugya. The Bab Metzia sugya, and the Paskin Chumash that we most closely associate with it is the Bab Metzia sugya, Losach Bol Beger Almana. The Chumash tells us that when a person is taking a mashko, and a person has to take a collateral for money that's owed to him, that he should not go and take the beged of an almana as collateral. So this is in Devarim Perek Chaf Dalid, and the pasuk says, Kisasha v'reacha masos mu'uma lo sovol deis halavot avoto, etc. No. I'm not finding the pasuk right now. But the pasuk says that you're not supposed to take a collateral from an almana, because so since you're not allowed to take, so we'll see how that comes up in just a moment. Let's take a look at the Mishnah of Masech Sanhedrin. Here, the context that comes up in Masech Sanhedrin, here it is. Lo sata mishpat ger yosom, v'lo sachbol beged almana. That in general, this is one of the many, many places in Chumash. It's Paruch of Tal Pasuk Yitzayin in Sefer Dvarim. It's one of the many places in Chumash where the Torah tells us that we have to be particularly kind and considerate of people who are otherwise vulnerable. A ger, a yasom, an almana. These are people that we have to be very, very considerate to. So the pasuk says you should not, you have to be fair in justice with the ger and the yasom, and lo sachbo beged almana, not to take the beged of an almana as a collateral, the article translates it as a pledge. You should not take the beged of an almana. And Rashi writes shelo b'shas halva'a, when it's not the time of the loan itself. Now, says the Mishnah in Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Let's take a look at source number one, and it's on page 2. Mishnah Maseches Sanhedrin. Lo yar belo nashim. There is a din in the Torah, also from Sefer Devarim, that a king is not allowed to have too many wives. How many is too many? Ela shmona esrei. He has a maximum, he's allowed to have his 18 wives. Now, it was traditional that a king would try to maximize the number of wives that he would have, because a king would try to maximize the number of children that he would have. He would want to have as many children as possible, as many potential heirs to the throne as he possibly can have. Maybe it was a sport to see them try to kill each other to get the throne, because that was also traditional, apparently, that they would go after each other. But even the likes of David HaMelech tried to maximize the number of wives, and his children Taka did want to kill each other for the throne, but they tried to maximize the number of wives that they have. So, but the maximum could be is 18. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Marbo Hulo. No, he can have as many wives as he wants, as long as he marries the right types of women, as long as they're not masiros haslibo, as long as they don't lead his heart astray. So this is an interesting. Where do we get this idea that it's masiros haslibo that has anything to do with leading his heart astray? So it's really straight from the pasuk. The Chumash describes what the whole din of a king, and what he's allowed to do and what he's not allowed to do. And in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin, in Sefer Devarim, it says, V'lo yar b'lo nashim, v'lo yasur levavo. And the very next words are, because if he has too many wives, it's going to lead his heart astray. So the Tanakhama says, he's a maximum of 18. Rabbi Yehuda says, nah, as many as he wants, as long as lo yasur levavo, as long as he stays on the straight and narrow. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, there are two separate isurim the Chumash is telling us. Lo yar b'lo nashim, can't have more than 18 wives of any kind. Afilu kavi gayu, they could be the most wonderful women in the world. They could be nashim tzidkanios. Can't have more than 18, even if he's lucky enough to find 18 avigayils. And then lo yasur levavo is a separate isur. He shouldn't even marry one woman who's yasur levavo. Who's going to lead him astray. So if you look at this Mishnah, there is a discussion in the Rishonim. How exactly do we read this Mishnah? How many opinions are there in the Mishnah? Look carefully at this Mishnah. Lo yar b'lo nashim ela shmona esrei. King has a maximum of 18 wives. Rabbi Yehuda says more, as long as they don't lead him astray. But bad wives, maximum of 18. Good wives, as many as he wants. Bad wives, a maximum of 18. Rabbi Shimon says bad wives can't have any. Good wives, maximum of 18. So how many opinions is that? Just curious what your impression is when you read the Mishnah. What? Three. So some Rishonim say three, some Rishonim say two. Now, how do you come to three? Start with...
Well, the difference between the first and the third is whether the end could be...
okay, good. You start with the Tanakhama, Le'yar b'lo nashim ela shmona esrei, right? 18, no matter what. Good, bad, doesn't make a difference. We don't care what your wives are like. 18 is it. That's the number. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, 18 is the number if they're bad, but if they're good, the number changes. Rabbi Shimon says, 18 is the number if they're good. If they're bad, the number is zero. You can't have any bad. But the Tanakhama sounds like, I don't care if they're bad or good. It's 18. So that's how some Rishonim understand. Other Rishonim understand that no, there are only two opinions. The Tanakhama says there is an idea of 18 wives. 18 is a number. It's a meaningful number. machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, in what way is it a meaningful number? Is it a meaningful number in terms of bad wives, or is it a meaningful number in terms of good wives? But they're arguing about what the Tanakhama holds. They're arguing within the Shita of the Tanakhama. So that's a machlokas Rishonim. I read the Mishnah. That's going to become important in a moment. But first, let's see the Gemara. Says the Gemara, wait a second. The Meimer Rabbi Yehuda Darish Taima Dekra, Rabbi Shimon Lo Darish Taima Dekra. Does that mean to say that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's concerned for the reason that the Torah gives? Because what did the Torah say? Don't have too many wives because they might lead your heart astray. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, so if they're not going to lead your heart astray, sometimes women are a very positive influence on a person. So if these are all wives that are going to be a very positive influence, so marry as many as you want. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that takes the reason and is willing to adjust the halacha based on the reason. The halacha was 18, Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, but if the reason doesn't apply, you can have more than 18. And Rabbi Shimon is the one that's not willing to budge based on the reason. Rabbi Shimon says, can't marry more than 18 because they might lead your heart astray. I don't care how great they are. I don't care what kind of Nashim Tzidkaniyos they are. They might lead your heart astray. I don't care if they won't lead your heart astray. You can't marry more than 18. So Rabbi Shimon's the one that says, I don't care about the time of the Kra. So ask the Gemara, Vaha Ibcha Shamin Elohu. But we learned that they have the exact opposite Shita, because the Tanya, and this is where we come back to what we started with, Almana Bein Shehi Aniya Bein Shehi Ashira. If you have an Almana, whether she's poor, whether she's rich, Ein Memashkin Enosa. You're not allowed to take a mashkon from her. Shenemar lo sachpo beger almana, div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, it says in the pasuk, you're not allowed to take the beger of an almana as a mashkon. Rabbi Shimon omer, ashira memashkonosa aniya ein memashkonosa, v'atachayv lachzir levata mesiya shem Rabbi Shchenoseha. Rabbi Shimon says, well, think about it. Why is it that the Torah doesn't want you taking a beged of an almana as a mashkon? Well, clearly it's because, just imagine how it's going to work out. Nebuch, she's an almana, she has nothing. And she, you know, she's in debt, that's why you're taking a mashkon. And you're going to her house, and she has her pajamas that she sleeps in, and she has her dress, the same dress that she wears every day. So what's going to happen if you take a beged from her? You're going to take the beged from her at night when she gets out of her dress and into her pajamas. Then you're going to go back the next morning, say, here's your dress, but you're going to need to take the pajamas now as a mashkon. So she's going to be standing behind the door changing and, you know, giving you the dress, and you're standing outside, and, you know, this is not going to look good. Twice a day, every day, you're going to be running back to the almana's house. She lives alone. It's going to be Mosiah Shem Rabbi Shchenosa. Everyone's going to say, what's this strange guy that keeps on going in and out of the almana's house? It's going to be bad. We don't want that to happen. So Rabbi Shimon says, that's a concern if she only has one dress. Whenever Rabbi Shechter says over this Gemara, he says, what if she's Mrs. Macy's? What if she's Mrs. I think Gimple's is the other one he said? What if she's, so she has hundreds of dresses, she has thousands of, she has enough dresses, she has plenty. So you're not going to have to keep running back and forth. So Rabbi Shimon says, so then there's no problem. Then you can take a beged almana. I mean, Rabbi Shimon says, I look at the reason for the din, and I'm willing to adjust the halacha based on the reason for the din. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, bein aniya bein ashira. It doesn't make a difference, poor or rich. It doesn't matter. You know, it says in the pasuk, l'sachpo beged almana. So it's a stira, because Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to the king marrying wives, Rabbi Yehuda says, I care about the reason, and I'm going to adjust the halacha based on the reason. When it comes to the beged almana, Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care about the reason. Can't take a beged almana. And Rabbi Shimon is the reverse. So what's the difference between the two? So says the Gemara, the difference between the two is as follows. The alma Rabbi Yehuda lo darish time in the crowd. About four lines from the end of the source. The alma Rabbi Yehuda lo darish time in the crowd. Really, Rabbi Yehuda does not adjust the halacha based on the reason. The shiny hacha de mefarish time of the crowd. So the way the Gemara explains it is as follows. There are two types of Taima Dekra. There are two types of reasons for mitzvahs. Sometimes the Torah tells us the reason, and sometimes we figure out the reason on our own. It's a well-trodden path, the idea of trying to figure out the reasons for mitzvahs on our own. Sefer HaChinuch does it with every single mitzvah. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim does it in many places. The Ramban Al Torah does it in many places. It's a common thing to try to do. Figure out the reasons for mitzvahs. But sometimes the Torah gives us the reasons for mitzvahs. So it comes along with you, then he says that when the Torah itself gives us a reason for a mitzvah, so then we're willing to adjust the halacha based on the reason, because we know that's the reason. Why else would the Torah give us the reason? If the Torah didn't give us the reason, well, then we don't know the reason. And even if we have a guess and we have an assessment of what the reason might be, we're certainly not allowed to adjust the halacha based on the reason. So the halacha would be ironclad if the Torah doesn't tell us anything. Why then would the Torah ever give me a reason? The halacha would be solid without it. Why is the Torah giving me a reason? Because the Torah is telling me specifically that we should adjust the halacha based on the reason. That's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's the opposite. The Torah never, when the Torah generally doesn't tell me a reason. Our job is to figure out the reason and then adjust the halacha based on the reason. Darshina time dekra, Rav Shapiro often points out, it doesn't say lome time dekra, mefarish time dekra, it says darshinan time dekra. What's darshinan? Yud gimel mido shatara nidreshes behen. It's how we derive halacha from the Torah. So, in addition to those yud gimel midos, and there are really many more than those yud gimel midos, taima dekra, Rabbi Shimon holds, is one of the midos shatara nidreshes behen. It's one of the ways that we determine halacha, Rabbi Shimon says. How do I know the taima dekra? Figure it out. Look at the halacha that you're not allowed to take a beged almana and put two and two together and realize that it's because it's going to be masiyah shem rabbi shechinosah. It's going to give her a terrible reputation. That's darshin on time of the cross. So if she's an ashira, if she's Mrs. Macy's, it's totally fine to do that. So why would the Torah ever give me the reason? If I could figure out the reason on my own, and I'm going to adjust the halacha anyway based on the reason, why would the Torah ever give me a reason? So says Rabbi Shimon, if the Torah is giving me a reason, if the Torah says lo yarbe lo nashim, and then the Torah says lo yasur levavo, it must be that it's not giving me a reason. What the Torah is doing is giving me a second isur, that there are two isurim, there are two mitzvahs over here. There's an isur of lo yarbe lo nashim, can't have more than 18 wives, and then there's a separate isur of lo yasur levavo. Even if you're not going to have a lot of wives, don't marry anyone who's going to be masir zliba. Don't marry anyone who's going to lead him astray. So that's what Rabbi Shimon says. Lo yarbe lo nashim, can't have more than 18 wives, even if they're all like Abigail. That's one din. Then you have another din that you're not allowed to marry anyone who's going to lead you astray. So that's how Rabbi Shimon says, normally I'm Dorish Taim Tikra. But ironically, when the Torah gives the Tam, that's when we're not Dorish Taim Tikra, because we don't look at it as a Tam. We look at it as a separate issue. That's how Rabbi Shimon learns it. Now, so that's what the Gemara says. Now, where else do we have this discussion of Darshin and Taima Dekra? And then we'll discuss maybe a little bit how the Rambam paskins over here. There is a halacha in Chumash, Kavartik Berenu Bayomahu, that there is an isra of Halanas Hames. One is not allowed to leave a dead body overnight. It's illegal in America to bury at night, but if it were legal, we would do it. If we could beat the, I don't know, it's probably cemetery worker unions or whatever it is, that the reason that we can't bury at night, in Eretz Yisrael they do bury at night, because you don't violate Lo Salon as long as it's still nighttime, so we would bury at night. There's an Isra of Kavartzik Peren V'yamahu, you're supposed to bury on the same day, sometime before Lo Sashach. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara in Sanhedrin writes, if you look at source number 3, Kalamalinus meso over below sase. So if you leave a dead body overnight, it's a violation. Lo se hilinei lekvodo lahavi laorim v'tachrichim eno over alav. But if the reason you're leaving the body unburied is for the kavod of the mace, then eno over alav. It's not a violation of anything. It's not a problem. Why is it not a problem? So the Aruch Haner points out lechora. What we're assuming over here is that the reason you're not allowed to leave a guy unburied or a woman unburied, a dead body unburied, is that it's a bizayon to the mace. But if that's going to be the greatest kavod, because you don't have a proper aron, you don't have proper tachrichim, you don't have a proper crowd for the funeral, meaning all of her children live out of state or whatever, and they have to get it. There's something for the kavod of the mace that's impossible to get it done now. Person dies late in the day, you're never going to be able to do a proper kavodik of burial. So then you're allowed to do it. Why? Because the whole din is a din of kavod. That's what the assumption seems to be. So the Aruch Haner points out that's the assumption. That must be Mishum Kavod HaMeis. The question then is, but wait a second. I thought we paskin lo darshin in time of the Kra. You're not allowed to change the halacha based on the time of the Kra. That may be the reason. You're not allowed to leave a mace unburied. It may be the reason, because of Kavod HaMeis. But who are we to decide that, okay, so if it's a greater Kavod the other way, then we could violate this halacha? It's a pasuk in the Torah that you're not allowed to leave a mace unburied. Where do we have the right to change the halacha? So Rav Meir Arik in the Imre Yosher, which is not in the Bar Ilan, and I didn't have time to type it in, Rav Meir Arik in the Imre Yosher answers that it's really explicit in the pasuk. Pasuk says that you know the Sol Nevos Al Eitz Ki Kilas Elukim Talim. That the Gemara gives the mashal that a human being is a Tzelem Elukim. So imagine a king has like a twin brother that are perfectly identical, and you're going to see people, and the twin brother's a criminal. So they prosecute him, and he's Chayav Misa, and they hang him. So he's hanging from the gallows. Everyone sees that he's hanging. So it's going to look terrible for the king. There's a person that looks identical to the king that's hanging. That looks terrible for the king. So when a human being is created B'Tzelem Elokim, to leave the Tzelem Elokim unburied overnight, to leave him just hanging there, no, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. Meaning, it's a din in the dignity of humanity. That human beings are B'Tzelem Elokim, Memele, there's a certain dignity that comes with it. So it's in the pasuk that it's a din of Kavod. So what, that it's in the pasuk, why does that change anything? That changes everything. Because we pasuk really like Rabbi Yehuda. That lo darshin in time to pro. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? When the pasuk gives no reason, it's a nice exercise. You could go and try to figure out the reasons, but that's not going to affect the halacha whatsoever. But if the Torah gives a reason, then that reason actually affects the halacha. So says Rav Meir Arik in the Imre Yosher, the Torah does give a reason for lo salin, for the isra of halana sameis. So if the Torah does give a reason, good. So then it's just like the case of lo yarbu lo nashim, of the king not marrying too many wives, where you're allowed to adjust it. Another example where we have a time of dekra related issue, very famous shita of the Rush. In Yoredei, in Hilchas Sefer Torah, Simin Reish Ayin. In modern Sfarim, they would never write Reish Ayin. They would write Ayin Reish, because you're not supposed to write acronyms that are bad. So there's no more bad acronym than Reish Ayin. So the Torah quotes from Adoni Avi Arush. He quotes from his father Rush. The 613th mitzvah in the Torah is the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, that we have to write a Sefer Torah. Great, so all the achronim deal with why don't we all do it? Meaning, we all take lulav, we all wear tefillin, we all eat matzah. It's a mitzvah in the Torah, like any other. Every Jew is supposed to write a Sefer Torah. So why haven't we done this mitzvah? So the Rush has this phenomenal chiddush where he says, you know why you have to write a Sefer Torah? Because that was practically, that's how they would learn. They would open up a Sefer Torah and they would learn from a Sefer Torah. So writing a Sefer Torah is not because of Kriyas HaTorah in Shul. How many Sefer Torah does a Shul need already? There's some Shuls that have too many. They don't know what to do with them. So it's not about Kriyas HaTorah in Shul, because you have a minyan. You only need one Sefer Torah for 10 people to listen together. And sometimes there are 100 people in the minyan. You only need one Sefer Torah. So what's it about? It's about Talmud Torah. It's about the way they would learn. It's like the Kuzari says that... You know, the Kuzari says that's where shuckling comes from. It's quoted in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't quote it from the Kuzari, but the Ramah says that it's proper, it's appropriate. Call it Smosai Tamar Nashem, that there's a din of getting your whole body into it. That there's an inyan of body language. That when there's when you find it, it helps increase his concentration. It works. So, but the Kuzari says no. The way it started was that they used to have a big scroll and everyone had to share. So they couldn't all like bend down at the same time. They'd all bang heads with each other. They'd all bend down to look at the same time. So one guy would go down and the other one would look up and then the other one would go down. So it turned out that the way people would learn is down, up, down. So that's how shuckling started. I don't know if that's historical, but that's the Kuzari suggestion. So the Rush writes, how do we do this? So that was the whole point of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Nowadays, where people write a Sefer Torah, Umanichem Oso Bebeis HaKnesses Likros Ben Berabim, that then they just leave it in shul and no one ever learns from it other than Kriyas HaTorah. Mitzvah Saseh, I'll call Yisrael Asher Yodam HaSegas, Liktov Chumashe HaTorah, U'Mishnah, U'Gemara, U'Perusheh, Amlagos Ben, U'Ubana. We have to buy and write and publish Svarim that people can learn from, Gemaras and Mishnais and everything that people learn from. Because the whole mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to learn. So this is how we fulfill this mitzvah. So all of the achronim are bothered. What are you talking about? The Torah says that there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. So we're going to say, okay, so buy a Baba Kama, and now you got a mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah? That's wild. That's not at all what the Torah says. How do you just change the halacha based on your own logic? So it's interesting, the Beis Yosef and the Bach have different interpretations of what the Rosh means. So Machlok is what the Rosh means. Does the Rosh mean that in addition to writing a Sefer Torah, since writing a Sefer Torah only fulfills the technical element of writing a Sefer Torah, but there's also the practical element that you have to have what to learn from, so in addition to writing a Sefer Torah, you also have to buy Sfarim so that you'll have something to learn from? Or does the Rosh actually mean, instead of writing a Sefer Torah, all you need to do is buy Sfarim? Either one is shver. Either one is very, very difficult. The Torah says the mitzvah is to write a Sefer Torah. Okay, so it's certainly very shver to say, that doesn't apply anymore, don't bother. Just buy a Gemara. That's very difficult. But it's also pretty difficult to say, yeah, the mitzvah da'oraisa is no longer accomplished by writing a Sefer. It's like saying, you know, back in Europe, Jews had two meals a day, and they didn't have internet, so they were always walking and moving and doing activities. So the average Jew weighed, 150 pounds or something, and kazayis of matzah, a reasonable amount of matzah to fill them up. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we have the internet and we can sit all day. So the average, and we have Kishka and whatever. So the average Jew weighs 250 pounds. I don't know if that's the average, but let's say. So therefore, you should have two kazeisim of matzah. We're not saying not to have kazeis. We're saying that you should just, you have to add to the mitzvah to fit with modern time. Not reform, not take away from the mitzvah. It's like, something they haven't thought of yet. To be more, the change of mitzvah d'oraisa, it's all shver. It's difficult whichever way you go. I mean, clearly he's trying to solve the problem of how can you take away the mitzvah, but adding to the mitzvah doesn't really help much. So everyone's bothered by this. What do you mean? Darshin and time of the kra, how can you be darish time of the kra? Says Minchas Elazar in a tshuva that's exactly what we're talking about over here. When are we not allowed to be darish time of the kra? We pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. If the Chumash doesn't give the reason, we're not allowed to be darish time of the kra. But if the Chumash gives the reason, so then we can be Dorish Taim Adikra, and we should be Dorish Taim Adikra. Does the Chumash give the reason? Yes. The Chumash says, Lamdos B'nai Yisrael Sima B'fia, that you have to place the Torah in their mouths. This is to teach B'nai Yisrael. That's why we have a mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. So the Torah is very clear what the reason is. Oh, once the Torah is very clear about what the reason for the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is, then certainly we can be Dorish Taim Adikra. If you held like Rabbi Shimon, you wouldn't be able to. But since we hold like Rabbi Yehuda and the Torah gives a reason, we're able to. The interesting comment we pointed out when we looked at the Daf, that as it comes up in Gittin on Daf Mem Tesem Veis, the Tosos has an interesting comment where Tosos writes in Gittin Mem Tesem Veis. I don't think I put it in the Mar Makomos here. Minchas Chinuch quotes all of this, so we're not reading much inside because there's a lot to say. But Tosos in Maseches Gittin Daf Mem Tesem Veis says, whenever there's a machlokas, whether darshin in time of the kara or lo darshin in time of the kara, whenever the Gemara even brings up Rabbi Shimon's opinion and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, this whole machlokas, it's always because there's a nafkamina la halacha, whether you're darshin in time of the kara or not. It's never just academic. That, okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care about the reason, Rabbi Shimon says, no, but there's a really good one, you got to hear this reason. It's never like that. It's always because there's some nafkamina halacha lemaisa, Tosus writes. The Tosus says, the tiny little Tosos, and you can miss it if you blink, but Tosos on Mentesim Beis, right at the beginning of Hanizakin, Tosos writes, Lo pligi elehecha di'ika nafkusa. The whole machlokas is only when there's a nafkamina. Kugon gabi chovel beger almana, ve gabi lo yar lo nashim. In both of those cases, there's a very clear nafkamina lemaisa. Beger almana, the nafkamina lemaisa is, what if she's Mrs. Macy's? So she has plenty of begatim. Or, lo yar lo nashim. Nafkamina lemaisa, what if they're all avigayils? So can you have more? And he says over here also, as it applies in Maseches Gittin, the tam is also going to matter, because if the reason that we assess nezikin with iddis is that we're trying to get the potential mazik to think to himself, this is not going to be worth it because they're going to take away my best stuff. So then we would assess the iddis based on the mazik's iddis, not based on the nizik's iddis, because they're going to take away my best stuff. But if all they're going to do is take away the nizik's best stuff, then maybe it's not going to be so discouraging for the mazik, Because mazgul, yeah, then it's expressed stuff. It's maizi burt, so I don't care. So it would have enough kamina lemaisa. How we assess idis? Whose idis we assess? So the Minchas Chinuch has a fascinating discussion. Mitzvah Tav Samach Dalet. Again, we're not going to read it inside, but here's what Minchas Chinuch says. He quotes our Tosfos, and he points out that the sugya in Sanhedrin, Daf Tezayinam Beis, the first paragraph of Sanhedrin says that we don't make an irani dachas samach l'svay. We don't make an irani dachas which has to be destroyed. The whole city has to be destroyed. Rov violated of Avodah Zarah right near a border of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Why? Because the pasuk says mikirbecha, and so Nirin Dachas is supposed to be mikirbecha. It's supposed to be inside, in the mainland, not on the edge, not on the periphery. And then the Gemara quotes a brisa that says that no, you can't make an Nirin Dachas on a border town, because if we go destroying our border towns, then we leave ourselves very vulnerable to attack. It's a very practical thing. You're going to destroy the town on the border; the enemies will waltz right in. Be terrible. So the Gemara says, well, why do I need it? We already have a drasha, a kirbucha, that it's supposed to be the kerev, it's supposed to be in the center of the land, of the mainland. It's not supposed to be on the border. Why do I need a reason? So the Gemara says, oh no, for Rabbi Shimon, Darish time of the Kra. Rabbi Shimon holds that there's a reason over here, Darish time of the Kra, so it's important to know the reason. Now, the Rambam quotes the reason that the Gemara says, that the Nachrim are going to come, Yachrivu Eretz Yisrael, they're going to destroy Eretz Yisrael. Says the Kesef Mishnah, wait a second, why would the Rambam quote the reason? We don't pasuk like Rabbi Shimon. We pasuk in that lo darshim in time of the Kra. So why is the Rambam quoting a reason? So the Kesef Mishnah says, yeah, it doesn't matter, because there's no nafkamina ladina anyway. There's no nafkamina lamaisa anyway. You can't make a town on the border near Nidacha, so who cares what the reason is? So the Rambam wants to give it, it's like a Mor Nevuchim kind of reason. The Rambam is suggesting a reason, but it's not going to make enough Kamina Ladin anyway. So it says, Minchas Chinuch, not allowed to say that. That's against Tosfos. Tosfos says, if we're ever mentioning the words Rabbi Shimon and Dorish Taimit Dekra, it's because there is enough Kamina Ladina. So there has to be enough Kamina to this reason. So what is the enough Kamina to this reason? What would be the nafkamina, whether the reason you're not allowed to make a border town in Irani Dachas is because no reason at all, it's just a gzeres hakasuv, or it's because we don't want to leave ourselves vulnerable to attack? So Minchas Chinuch suggests several nafkaminas, some stronger than others, but here are a couple of them. One, he says, what happens if we have a town on the border, and then, and we discover that they're all, rov of them are of the Avodah Zarah, but it's a border town, can't do anything. And then we expand Eretz Yisrael. We go, we fight some Melchamos, and we expand Eretz Yisrael. So now, if it's determined based on the Gzeres HaKasuv, that at the time that these people were prosecuted for being of the Avodah Zarah, at the time that we caught them, at the time that they stood trial for being of the Avodah Zarah, they were in a border town. Okay, so we're stuck. Can't get them 20 years later because it's no longer a border town. We're stuck. Can't do anything. They're already off the hook. But says Minchas Chinuch, if it's because we just don't want to leave ourselves vulnerable, meaning, really, these people are chayiv. So there should be a gemar din, they should be chayiv. We just can't pull the trigger or light the fire or, you know, burn down the town because we can't leave ourselves vulnerable. But really, 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 they're already chayiv. It's just we're in this holding pattern until we could do something about it, and we may never be able to do anything about it. Oh, but now we expand Eretz Yisrael, so now we could do something about it. So that would be one nafkamina, he says. Or he says, another nafkamina. Irani Dachas requires Madiche Irani Dachas. Madiche Irani Dachas are the people who cause, you know, if you're going to have a town where the majority of the people are doing Avodah Zarah, every town, whatever becomes in vogue in a town, there are always leaders. There are always people that are the kinds of people that start movements. Malcolm Gladwell has a whole chapter in one of his books about these kinds of people, the kinds of people that make things popular. Which book was it?
Tipping Point.
Right. So you have to find those people that know how to connect with so many others. You know, the guy who doesn't have like 12 contacts in his cell phone, the guy who has like 12,000 contacts in his cell phone, and they all think that he's their best friend. You know, that kind of person. So there are always leaders. There are always. So if you have a city where there was there, that became Irin Dachas, that means that Avodah Zarah became wildly popular in that city. For anything to become wildly popular, there had to be Madichim. There had to be people who were stirring the pot. There had to be people who were pushing it the whole time. So the Madichi Irin Dachas, even if they were not members of the Irin Dachas, even if they were not over the Avodah Zarah themselves in the Irin Dachas, they also get killed. So what about the Madichi Irin Dachas of a border town? I mean, these people are the Madichim, but they're not members of that city, so they're going to get killed separately. So if you say it's a din, that's Gzeres HaKasuv, that a border city, there's no din Irin Dachas. So then these people are not Madichi Irin Dachas, because it's not an Irin Dachas. Irin Dachas has to be Bekir Bacha, can't be on the border. But if you say, no, they are an Irin Dachas, it's just a practical thing that we can't burn down our border towns because it's going to leave us so vulnerable. So good, so we're not going to leave ourselves vulnerable, but we'll kill the Madichim, because it's still an Irin Dachas. That's what Milchas Chinuch suggests nafkaminas might be, because he's saying there's got to be a nafkamina. It can't not be a nafkamina. Otherwise, that's Shita Satosos. Maybe Kesem Mishnah is explaining that the Rambam holds, it doesn't have to be a nafkamina. That's not, there is a machlokas, whether it's Darshin and Taima Dekra or not. And maybe the Rambam would then be saying that, yeah, in Chinami we generally pass on like Rabbi Yehuda that we're not going to adjust the halacha based on time of the Krah, but we pass on like Rabbi Shimon that it's worthwhile to find the time of the Krah. I mean, maybe Rabbi Yehuda has no interest in time of the Krah. And even if there's no enough Gemil and Meisr, Rabbi Shimon's interested, Rabbi Yehuda's not interested. The Rambam says, I'm interested, but I'm not going to go as far as to adjust the halacha based on time of the Krah. Right, where it doesn't leave you vulnerable unless an attack by sea, right, the navy. Maybe. The Gemara talks about that, I think, doesn't it? I don't remember. I think the Gemara talks about it in Sanhedrin. Now, let's go back to the classic case. What was the classic case? Mashkon. You're going to take Lo Sach Bol Beged Almana. You can't take the Beged Almana. So he said, oh, it doesn't say why in the Chumash. So Rabbi Shimon says, I know why. It's because Messiah Shem Rabbi Shechino says she doesn't get this terrible reputation, and we don't want that to happen. Oh, so don't worry if it's Mrs. Macy's. You don't have to worry about the terrible reputation, because she has plenty of clothing, so you're not going to have to keep on going back and forth and showing up at an Almana's house where all the neighbors are looking at, you know, peering through the blinds saying, what's that guy doing there again? You know, you don't have to worry about that. So then you don't have to, you know, that's Rabbi Shimon's Darshin in time of the Krah. Is that only an Almana? What about another woman? Shouldn't it be like any woman? Why is it Dafka and Almana? Or is it Dafka and Almana? So this is a machlokas in the Nosei Kelim in Shulchan Aruch. You would think this would have been figured out before the Shulchan Aruch, right? But it's, you know, it's like a pretty basic question. Here's a pasuk in Chumash that you're not allowed to take a mashkon from an almana. So you would think like this should have been a machlokas tanaim, right? Is it the tanaim should have argued about something like this? That does it mean almana mamish, or it just means a vulnerable woman or a woman who lives alone? What about a grusha? What about a single woman, a basula, lives alone? So Shulchan Aruch tells us this halacha, says the Sma, source number 11, Mashma da'afilu ma'idu mutalach ba'achid ha'inu al-yidei sheikh beiz, na'osal gabi almana, v'nakat almana she'in la ozer v'somech, lo me'isha, v'lo me'aviha, she'kvar yatsa mirushusa. What's unique about an almana? She has no support. She has no man that's watching over, that's taking care of her, that takes responsibility for her. She doesn't have a husband, she doesn't have a father, she's already on her own. Says the Sma, Vuadin Grusha. A Grusha has no support either. She's already out of her father's house, she doesn't have a husband, but a Besula, she's Berushus Avia. So for her, you're allowed to go and take the Beged Almana. You're allowed to go take the Beged, the Mashko. That's how the Sma writes. Says the Shach, no, you're even allowed to take from the Grusha also. Torah says almana, you're not allowed to take from an almana. But you could take from a grusha. But why? Why would you be allowed to take from a grusha? If the whole concern is that everyone's Messiah Shem Rabbi Shechino Seha, isn't that going to happen to the grusha also? Is it going to be Messiah Shem Rabbi Shechino Seha? So, the Rav Yonah Sanayipshitz, Nurm Batumim, says, we don't go around changing dinim in the Torah. Meaning, in Achinami, that may be the case, but we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. We can't go around changing dinim in the Torah. So I don't care if the Torah says almana, it's almana. We can't change any of the dinim. But there might be svara to it also. What's the difference? And Rabbi Yonasan fleshes this out a little bit. What's the difference between Almana and Agrusha? Is it what's so terrible about Masiya Shem Rabbi Shechein Oseh? You keep showing up to the woman's house, and all the neighbors see, funny guy keeps coming to the house twice a day, every day, woman lives alone, weird. So what? What's so terrible? Is someone going to die? Someone going to get sick? Like, well, what's going to happen from that? So, what do you think? We've been saying it, right? We keep on talking about this like it's the worst thing. What's so terrible about it? Ah, she won't be able to remarry because people will think that she's a prutza. People will think she's a prutza. We can marry an almana. Yeah. So if it's about marriage prospects, then l'chora, the sma is right. A grusha is the same as an almana. It's going to bring about this terrible... and adrab, a grusha is even worse because she's already limited. She can't marry a kohen.
Where was that with almana and yesovim having
rachmanis? So the other possibility is, Masiya Shem Rabbi Shechein Oseh is not a practical matter that is actually going to impact her reality, but it's that it's going to impact her psychologically. The, you know, there are some people that have a thick skin. Not so many, but there are some people that have a thick skin. That you could say things about them and they'll, you know, for some reason it just all slides off. It's almost like troubling when people have too thick a skin, like, why aren't you affected by anything? But some people just like, everything just slides, they have a thick skin. But there are some people that are very, very deeply affected and very self-conscious of everything. And the Torah goes out of its way over and over and over again, a ger, a yasom, an almana, be careful. These people are very, very vulnerable. And she just went through this traumatic experience. So maybe therein lies the difference between a grusha and an almana. That the almana, we have specific mitzvos in the Torah to tell us how sensitive one must be to an almana. Now, it's true, we need to be sensitive to a grusha as well. But you don't have that same level. You don't have the Torah to that same the Torah to the same level going out of its way telling us how sensitive we have to be to a grusha, because there's a certain sense of being tzobrachan that an almana has that a grusha maybe doesn't have. And that maybe will have a more of a negative psychological impact. The Taz says, no, you're not allowed to take from a grusha or a basula either. Because the point is, like Dr. Oppenheim was saying, that it's all about shiduchim. And if shiduchim is gonna affect, then even a basula, it's certainly gonna affect a basula's shiduchim because no one's gonna believe she's a basula. No one's it's gonna be terrible for her reputation. Now the one element, well, the two elements that we're not gonna do justice to over here. Oh, by the way, the Sefer HaTruma says that the entire din mashkon is only if the love, the entire din that you could ever take a mashkon is only if the love is a male. So he has a very different way of saying it. Instead of saying, yeah, almana v'huadin grusha, or almana v'huadin grusha v'huadin basula, he says, almana v'huadin anybody, any isha. It's almana is just an example because that's the, I guess, the likely case where she would need to borrow money and you're going and taking a mashkon from her because a woman who has a husband, hopefully the husband will figure something out for her. But really, it's even a married woman, he suggests, Sefer Shuma suggests. So it's only the whole din of a mashkon is only if the love is a male. Now the two elements that we're not really getting to is that there seems to be a stir in the Rambam in how to paskin, whether we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Shimon, because in Malva Belova by the mashkon, the Rambam very clearly paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, but in Isuri Bia he paskins like Rabbi Shimon about a different din that we didn't discuss with Darshin and Taim of the Kra. And the other element we didn't get to, but I did mention in the Daf Yomi, is Rav Shachter's very fascinating chiddush about how Darshin and Taimut Dekra is used as a model for how the Rabbanan make Dinim Derabbanan. That the Rabbanan use that same model, that just like the Torah, when it says the reason, we're allowed to be Doresh Taimut Dekra, and we're allowed to adjust it based on the reason, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but when it doesn't say the reason, we're not allowed to adjust the din based on the reason. When the Rabbanan made dinim, sometimes they said the reason in their din, and sometimes they just said the din, even though they obviously had reasons, but they didn't say the reason. So when they said the reason in their din, that's them telling us, and you can adjust if the reason doesn't apply. But when they didn't say the reason in the din, in the lashon of the takana, that's the Rabbanan telling us, the reason's none of your business. This takana is going to apply, even if batal tam, lo batal takana. But it's all ke'en da'oraisa tikkunim. It was modeled after the way the Torah made the dinim da'oraisa. Okay. Oh, yeah.